Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
Hey, it's Maz. I'm on the par three here at Red Tail. I don't know if you can see the pin up there. 161 yards. I grabbed a 7-iron. It's a little uphill in the hole. I'm not kidding you. Hole in one. First one ever. Suck on that, bitches.
Tony Maserati playing golf in the morning, enjoying a hole in one.
Red Tail, nice.
Is that his club?
No, Red Tail is one of the nicest and more expensive public courses in Massachusetts, and you got to really drive to get out there. It's in Devens, Massachusetts. It's way off in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but he just, you know, he took a 7-iron and he hit it, 170 uphill?
Yeah.
You know what I don't believe?
That's 170 uphill?
That he hit a 7-iron 170 uphill.
I'm thinking more of a 5. Or a 4.
Or a 4.
Yeah.
So what, does he hit a driver 250? 260?
I haven't played with him. I don't know.
Well, judging by the man's physique.
Yes, he's not a large individual. That's
well,
true.
And not a lot of whip.
Yeah.
You know, like he not long arms. You know, he doesn't look like he generates a ton of power. But good for him. A seven iron uphill. 170 yards.
Have you ever done that before? And have you guys ever or either been with somebody who's had a hole in one before?
Never.
No.
Okay, see, I've been with someone. I was with my father one time, and it's, you know, he wasn't a good golfer. It's just it was an unbelievable shot. But it's one of those things where you just see the ball rolling, and then it disappears. And I remember my dad just flipped out. Like, he threw his club in the air, and it hit the top of the golf cart when it came back down, which is kind of loud and scary. But, you know, there's even that moment as you're getting up towards the hole where you're wondering if your eyes are playing tricks on you, whether it actually rolled behind the green and maybe there was a drop there. And then when you walk up and you see the hole, I mean, it truly is one of the great feelings. I mean, it sticks with you for like a week when you hit a hole-in-one.
Well, you got to buy the whole clubhouse beer. I mean, you got to buy him a drink.
Is that the rule?
That is the rule. And do you remember when we were playing in the first golf tournament with Crash, and he became convinced that I hit a hole in one, and because it was behind the pin,
yeah,
and he ran down there and he started spazzing out, and then the next thing you know, it was not a hole in one. It was probably about 10-12 feet behind the hole, but nonetheless, it did not get him down at all. He was very, very excited about that. So good for Tony Maserati, and then he had to go to work.
Yep. And he probably couldn't stand up the entire time.
Yeah. he had to go into work. And then I don't know where this club is or what the clubhouse situation is, if you're even allowed in there. But that's the rule. You got to buy everyone a drink in the clubhouse. That is the rule. Didn't sound like he was with a lot of friends either. Sounded like he was kind of just by himself.
Well, someone was filming it, so there's at least one person who was.
Smattering of applause. Yeah, a couple of people there.
It didn't sound like there was a celebration. Like, I mean, if you're on a par three and you hole it, you would assume that people from all over the course would be very excited, at least within earshot. But Tony Mads keeping it low pro, saying, "What do you think about that, bitches?" And I'm saying to myself, ladies, look out. Someone just got a hole in one. Which never happens to the Eck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, you know, I'm
everything's
sure
available to the Eck.
I'm sure he's gotten a hole in one before, but in a different way.
Well, I get a hole in one, two, three, four, five, six.
It depends if the Gallabucci twins have shown up. Is that
yeah,
right?
The Gallabucci twins, if they show up. I mean, everything's open for the Eckman. Na 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 Eckman. The lover.
I do miss him. Like every time that Nesson does one of their nightly shows and they check in with Dennis Eckersley, like he's like a tiger in a cage. The man can't wait to get back out there. He's like all angry about how they can't get this deal done. He's like pissed. Need to get out and, you know, get a little sun. You know, listen, the sun in doesn't work unless you have real sun to turn your hair nice and blonde and orange. But no, he still uses sun in from back in the day?
No, he never used sun in. He would put mousse. I mean, that's all he wanted. I mean, why ruin a perfectly groomed brunette? I mean, what's the deal with that? No, you just, you know, no sun in. By the way, my son has started putting in sun in. And it looks
they
just
still
like
make
it,
that? They make sun in still? I thought that was something that just was out for a couple of years and people realized that it turned your hair like orange and then they stopped making it.
Well, that's the idea, is that it turns your hair orange. So my son, the entire time we've been in Tennessee, and I think since we've left, he has put sun in his hair. And it looks much like the same it did when we were used, where I would shave the sides and back of my head, and then I would have huge bangs that I put sun in. And that was the look, and it got me so many ladies.
Sun in was like the 80s villain hair look. It was like the William Zabka of hair treatments.
Yeah, or, you know, a Tony Hawk situation. I think Guerrero had it for a while. Gator, I think, had it for a while. I mean, you know, just the boys, you know, just knocking around on the old half pipe. Mm-hmm. That was me. No, I'd never. The only time I rode a half pipe, I broke my leg.
Did you ever make a video and try to send it to, like, Vision or Palo Peralta to get sponsored?
No, but I did make a video of me breakdancing in a wall.
You told me about that. Yes. You didn't try to get sponsored by, Crush Groove the movie or something like that. I don't know who would sponsor a breakdancer.
I just remember being on stage with my friend and looking over, and there was, like, a guy at, like, a Euro stand just staring at us with such just hatred in his eyes. Like, what the hell are you doing? But, I mean, because we weren't big on floor stuff. It was more footwork. Mm-hmm. and using our arms. We couldn't do the helicopter or anything like that. So not a lot to the break dancing. That tape exists somewhere, though.
Well, my brother and his friends used to go out with the video camera, and they would shred, and they would try to send it to, like, Vision Skate, you know, the skate company, and Palo Peralta, and ask for a sponsorship. And you look at the tricks they were doing, it was the lamest stuff ever. Like, they could barely, like, ollie anything. It was like, clump. It's like, hey, man, we're living on the edge.
It was like a two-inch ollie, and then, like a, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
And like one of my brothers is into freestyle skating, so he was down with like Per Wielander, and he would do that thing where he'd flip it in between his legs and try to like bounce on the top of it. I remember like on the second bounce, he would like fall over and like screw up his knee. It's like, oh yeah, you're getting the big sponsor coming. Send that big old VHS tape.
Yeah, I think there were two freestyle skaters, so I mean the chances of you getting in are it was a very limited company. It was Per Wielander and then the guy who owns half a birdhouse are the two guys that...
Not McGill. I know it's...
No, it's not McGill. He wasn't on the in the Bones Brigade.
I forget, but I know you're talking about. There were like two guys. Yeah,
yeah, there were two guys. Per Wielander and then a guy that is... owns Birdhouse with Tony Hawk.
Yeah. Who, by the way, is like made a zillion dollars off of Birdhouse. Like, I mean, Birdhouse was just, for a while there, was massive. And I mean, obviously, Tony Hawk made so much. You know, Tony, I wonder what Tony Hawk made more money off of, Birdhouse or the video game? Because I think he kind of got a Madden type of deal off of his name. Because Madden, I mean, that's, it's insane the amount of money that he was able to make off of the licensing of that, which is crazy because, I mean, Madden as a broadcaster, I mean, how long has it been since he's been relevant? I mean, when did he stop broadcasting? Was it 20 years ago? And he still continues to make money off of that? Like, I mean, a ton of money off of that.
Well, he designs it and makes it.
He's the guy in the lab right there, sitting next to all the Silicon Valley, like 20-year-olds.
Yeah, I mean, Madden's in there with the green you know, outfit on with the light bulbs on it or whatever the hell they use. And
sure.
He's running around doing it.
I'd like to see the video of that, the making of that.
Yeah, but I think his estate has made, I mean, it's gratuitous how much money I think that he's made from that. And Tony Hawk, you know, once Pro Skater came out, that was a huge deal. And I think it's returning. I think I read somewhere, because we were talking about it the other day, and a bunch of people sent me stories that it's going to be coming back. But but if you get your name, like, licensed on one of these games and it becomes successful, it's really absurd how much cash these video games make. Didn't the release, and this is going to be so dated, but it was like maybe 5 years ago that a brand new Doom video game came out. Or no, it was Halo, I think. And it made more money in 1 week than any other entertainment, like any other movie, any other book release, any play. It made more than any other form of entertainment had in a week's time. And it's just absurd the kind of cash that those things bring in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tony Hawk is, because he was like the original. I'm sure he's made a phenomenal amount of money. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Wow, you want to talk about some unbelievable moments yesterday. Let's talk about what NASCAR did. On top of that, let's talk about what the Red Sox did yesterday as well. And both of them somewhat hand-in-hand with their message.
All right, we'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Sports Hub. Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
Nothing at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and Rich, what's going on?
Well, it's been a while since we got a real holy crap moment in the sports world, but yesterday afternoon, we got one. NASCAR announced yesterday that they would officially ban Confederate flags from all of their sporting events, and as I was saying yesterday, when I used to go to races about 15 years ago, seeing a Confederate flag in a NASCAR race is like seeing a Brady jersey at a Patriots game. They are everywhere. And
that'll
the move comes
well.
What's that?
That's going to go over well.
Well, I mean, I think that we might have to explore some of the comments section after the statement was made yesterday. I believe that might be. Well, there was one driver who he was like a part-time NASCAR driver who posted something on his Facebook page that was basically like, screw you, NASCAR, for I'll fly whatever I want to fly. And then, of course, it was released, but erased, rather. But the move comes after NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace, who is black, suggested earlier this week that the flag should be banned. And yesterday, NASCAR released this statement, quote, "The presence of the Confederate flag at NASCAR events runs contrary to our commitment to providing a welcoming and inclusive environment for all fans, our competitors, and our industry. Bringing people together around a love for racing and the community that creates it is what makes our fans and sport special. The display of the Confederate flag will be prohibited from all NASCAR events and properties." Here is Bubba yesterday after the announcement was made.
Today's been special. Again, hats off to NASCAR. Phelps and I have been in contact a lot, just trying to figure out what steps are next. And that was a huge pivotal moment for the sport. A lot of backlash, but it creates doors and allows the community to come together as one.
And as if that wasn't big enough, and I'm sure will stir the pot a little bit amongst NASCAR fans, they made another major change to their policies yesterday, noting that going forward, it will allow team members to peacefully protest during the pre-race ceremonies, including the anthem, removing a guideline that states that they must stand. Before the Atlanta race, there was a NASCAR official named Kirk Price. He kneeled during the anthem while saluting the flag and held his fist up in honor of, as he said, of people who have died as victims of racism, police brutality. Price was an active-duty U.S. Army member for 3 years, and Bubba Wallace afterwards found out, and he said that he wished he had seen him kneeling because he would have joined. However, this weekend, Bubba Wallace is going to be driving a car emblazoned with the Black Lives Matter logo. Here he is with his take on his new car.
Our car was so good. Our Black Lives Matter Chevrolet, that's good to say right there, was so good on the long run. So we definitely didn't need those cautions at the beginning or towards the end of the race. But all in all, great job to come here and execute. No practice. My favorite place. And it just continues to show.
You want to talk about a guy with guts? Bubba Wallace is that guy. He's the only top-tier black driver in NASCAR. Majority of the fans are Southern white men in front of an audience that has flown the Confederate flag with regularity for generations. And he spoke out, man, under those circumstances and ended up getting real changes made. Respect, man.
By the
balls.
Way, Rich.
Awesome.
Rich,
yeah.
The racing, NASCAR is going to hold an event, and Dan and I were talking about this before the show. NASCAR is going to go to Talladega soon, right? That's in South Carolina.
No, Talladega is in the anus of Alabama.
Okay,
it's like
even
right
better.
There in the middle of
Even better.
Come on.
I know. That's my fault. My bad.
Well, stop your point right now if you don't know where Talladega is.
Okay, just to kind of paint a picture, I've been to Talladega probably more than any other race.
Okay.
I think I've been there, I might have been there 5 times. And Talladega is, I mean, it is every bit of, it's the Woodstock of rednecks.
So let's do an interview segment to the parking lot of Talladega when NASCAR goes there without the
you
flag
couldn't air
allowed.
It. You couldn't air it. I mean, okay, so when you would go there, first of all, it's a super speedway, which means it can fit more people, and like the people, it's one of the few ones that you can sleep inside. You can camp out on the infield. You have to get there on, I think, Thursday night or maybe Friday morning before the weekend races start. And you camp out there in the middle, and it's a party all weekend long. You just stay in the middle of the track. So it's big enough to have that. They're, the best thing about Talladega, they have their own jail in the middle of the infield. And it's almost always full. So think about that. Just from the cars and the RVs that they have spending the night there, they have to have their own police force.
It's outdoors, this jail, in the middle of the infield?
Yes. Well, no, it's like they have to set it up, and it's like, oh, you know, in the infield, but they have their own jail. That's and police force on the infield of Talladega, and you see people getting arrested left and right. I mean, it's a party all weekend long. But the parking lot, and I mean, you've seen. I mean, even like up in New Hampshire where the race is. I mean, the parking is just, it's always a cluster F, and there's a million different cars, and the tailgating is like nothing you've ever seen before.
Hell
and
yeah.
Talladega, out of all the places I went, I probably saw more Confederate flags. So when is that, Dan? Like, that's like in the next like 3 weeks, right? They're going to do that?
No, that's next Sunday.
Oh, it's next. Talladega's next Sunday.
This weekend is...
They're allowing fans, right?
Sorry, John. Yeah, so this weekend is Homestead in Miami. They are allowing South Florida military members, up to 1,000 of them, this weekend in Homestead. Next week is 5,000 at the front stretch of the grandstands at the Talladega Super Speedway.
Okay. Other than people are going to show up just to protest and you know,
how would you like to work
mind?
There to have to be one of the ones that has to tell those people that you probably know and you hang out with because you work at the Super Speedway
sure.
That they can't fly that flag?
Oh well, I mean, there's
but
there's
they all
probably
have top hats and monocles,
and tuxedos. They'll be wearing those.
Yeah.
And
by the way, this
me,
is
sir, could you drop the Confederate flag?
And once again, I want to say this is coming from my experience. Over like almost 15 years ago, like 2006 was the last race that I went to. Maybe things have changed. Maybe they have. But, you know, I'm assuming just because of the sheer number of Confederate flags that were there, they probably haven't changed that drastically. So this is going to obviously set up as I said, give Bubba Wallace all the credit in the world, because to speak out in a race like that, when you know what audience is there watching you the entire time, that really, really goes down as one of the most gutsy moves. So good on him. And especially the fact that NASCAR went, yep, you're right. Good on them as well. So now locally, Tory Hunter this week spoke out about hearing fans at Fenway call him racist names. And because of it, he included the Red Sox as a city that he never wanted to be traded to on his no trade list. Tory Hunter had this to say about that.
The one time is when I saw kids, you know, saying it and kind of chanting that word, and I had to turn around. I've heard it a lot, but I had to turn around because I heard children's voice, and I was just pointing up there to tell them, hey, tell those kids to stop saying that word. And they just put their hands up and did like this and told me to turn around.
Now, as we know, Tory isn't the only athlete or person who has visited Fenway who has said that these type of things have happened, and each time they're always seem to be a chorus of people accusing people like Tory of lying. And to that, the Red Sox yesterday tweeted out a statement that was titled, "This is real." And it read, "Tory Hunter's experience is real. If you doubt him because you've never heard it yourself, take it from us. It happens." Last year, there were 7 reported incidents at Fenway Park where fans used racial slurs.
How
those
timely.
Are just the Well, yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, Tory Hunter, someone as big as Tory Hunter comes out and says that, and of course...
Well, I mean, Adam Jones said it, and I would venture to guess Adam Jones is a bigger name than Tory Hunter, but continue.
Well, I'm also trying to figure out, I'm trying to remember what the Red Sox's response was. It definitely wasn't this, because I want to hear what they had to say. I wouldn't mind going back. I just remember that a ton of people were like, no, it didn't. That never happened.
No, everyone said that.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. So it said there were 7 reported incidents at Fenway Park where the fans used racial slurs. Those are just the ones we know about. And it's not only players. It happens to the dedicated black employees who work for us on game days. Their uniforms may be different, but their voices and experiences are just as important. We are grateful to everyone who has spoken up and remain committed to using our platform to amplify the many voices who are calling out injustice. There are well-established consequences for fans who use racial slurs and hate speech in our venue, and we know we have more work to do. This small group of fans does not represent who we are, but are rather a reflection of a larger systematic issue that as an organization we need to address. True change starts from within, and as we identify how we can do better, please know we are listening, we hear you, and we believe you. It's a pretty damn good statement right there, to be quite honest. And Tory Hunter said that after he had made that statement earlier in the week, Sam Kennedy actually had given him a call.
He was calling to apologize. I told him he didn't have to because that's a society problem. But, you know, one thing that the Red Sox are going to do is probably not going to tolerate it anymore. And that's all you really can do in your ballpark. And also be aware and listen and hear other employees or fans or whatever it may be, hear their cry.
Yep. So Tory Hunter, I think he yesterday, here it is. He retweeted that statement and put "change starts now. Much love." And then it was praying hands emoji, thumbs up emoji, and then a bunch of fists emoji, close fist emojis. Yes. Not the punch, I'm going to punch you, but more of the, you know, that's another emoji you could have. That's not it. It's more of the, you know, we're in solidarity type of
the
fist.
The Red Sox waited until the exact right moment to back up these guys. Just when the nation is going through what we're going through right now. How timely of them. You know, when Torrey Hunter or Adam Jones spoke up about this, you know, they could have said it's true. But why? Why don't you wait until it's the best PR move that you can make?
I had never heard the Torrey Hunter story until this week. I don't know if he's spoken publicly about that.
No, like I knew he hadn't. It had been publicized at 80 no trade contract to Boston before this. I mean, that was
he never
known
said
before,
why,
but
right?
No, but he never said why. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have to imagine it wasn't because they were a bad team. I mean, the guy played in Minnesota. I mean,
that's a good point. I mean,
you know, but it's one thing to kind of say, oh, that's obviously because he doesn't like the racial tension here in Boston. And it's another to hear Hunter come out and say, yeah, that's exactly why, to the media.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, Adam Jones was a huge story that people seemed to get off on saying wasn't true. In my opinion at the time, is still my opinion, is what did he get for lying? Like, if he was lying, what's the point? I mean, he doesn't get any more money. He doesn't, I mean... What's it do for him?
I'm actually reading from a USA Today story. The incident with Adam Jones happened a little over 3 years ago. And he said, you know, someone threw a bag of peanuts at him. There were 59 or 60 ejections that night. He was called the N-word multiple times. And according to the USA Today story, Red Sox officials confirmed that a fan did throw a bag of peanuts at Jones and was ejected from the ballpark. They were investigating the total amount of people who were ejected from the game, but it was believed it was about half the amount for a variety of violations. No statement whatsoever about racial insults.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, everyone was calling him a liar. I mean, that was what the big narrative is. And I've never heard anyone say that at Fenway. Well, then obviously it never happened. I mean, if you've been to Fenway and haven't heard it, well, that's obviously, I mean, that's all the proof you need.
Sit 5 seconds in the bleachers. Just, honest to God.
Yeah, you obviously have some very good seats.
My God.
If you're not hearing that.
Spend the $40. Sit in section 42. Tell me what you hear.
Yeah. But I just found it a little mystifying that people were he's lying. Well, for what? Like, what does he get? He doesn't get anything. He doesn't get endorsements or anything like that, so... I always questioned why people were not believing him. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, well, baseball swears they're coming back. And not so fast, with all the stars being down with a whole NBA season in Disney World. We might have a little bit of trouble in paradise here.
All right, we'll hear all about that in just a moment.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, there is a little bit of problems getting these sports off the ground.
There are, but real quick before we get to that, I needed Baseball Magoo John Wallach to comment on this.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard this clip, but this is pretty fantastic. So yesterday, the Red Sox selected a kid named Nick York in the first round.
Yep.
I think they had the 17th pick.
Yep.
And Carl Ravage yesterday. Whatever they were broadcasting the draft. This is just awesome.
Yeah.
Here's Carl Ravage on the pick.
I got a lot of notes. I don't have much on Nick York. How'd we get here?
We didn't see this one coming, Ravi. He's a hit first middle infielder. He was a nice follow over the summer. He emerged this spring, and he is a hit first guy that can play second, short, put him in a couple different places. I would guess this is under slot to save money. Not that he doesn't deserve to go here. I think on talent consensus and what his price is probably set a little bit lower. I'd heard he'd be a tough sign in the second round. I think this may be setting up some moves later in the draft.
Carl Ravage is looking at his notes, goes, I got nothing on this guy.
This is Tavon Wilson is what this is. Tavon Wilson in the second round, where everyone looks at each other and goes, what?
Hey, listen, Tavon ain't bad over there in Detroit. But yes. I will tell you this, is that Peter Abraham, very defensive of the pick.
Oh, God. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Peter's it doesn't mean he can't play. You know, it doesn't.
John, I don't know what major MLB pipeline is, but apparently it's a reputable source that ranks these. It's probably like the R-Lads of baseball. Yeah. You know, probably. All right. MLB pipeline ranked this guy 139 in the top 200
draft prospects. There are six scouting agencies. I think only two had him inside the top 100. No, that's about right. I mean, this is way off the board, but whatever that guy who wasn't Carl Ravage said is true. I mean, they have three more draft picks, and they already have a deal with this guy for what's called under slot value, and slot value is like 3-point-something million. They have him for a lot less than that, so they can spread the money out and maybe take a chance on guys and later in the third, fourth, or fifth round today. But, man, I mean, you don't have a second-round draft pick, and you go after a guy who wasn't in the top 100. I'm no baseball expert when it comes to this kind of stuff, but this seems crazy to me.
Okay, is this a money-saving, like, because I saw yesterday, there's people who are so nerdy on, like, you know, of compensation and all this stuff when it comes to the draft. And I saw yesterday Jay Stu and Marshall Hook like yelling at each other. And one of the theories that they had was they purposely.
Clash of the Titans.
It is. I mean, listen, they probably know way more than I. Not probably. They absolutely know way more I do about like how all this, the money shakes out when it comes to draft picks. But they said, did they purposely pick somebody who won't sign so they could get the extra compensatory pick next season?
That's a possibility. And if you don't sign someone next year, you get a compensatory selection plus one, which means the Red Sox, if they purposely drafted Nick York not to sign him, would have the 18th pick next year's compensation, regardless of where they land in the standings this year.
And so the thought would be that these kids haven't played baseball in the spring, so maybe you could get more information on them. I would suppose, if that's what they're saying, but it's still not fair to the kid.
I know. Well, he did an interview. I felt bad. I mean, I almost want to play because I feel bad for the kid. But like he, you know, afterwards did the post-draft interview. And he was asked about, you know, being drafted almost like a surprise. He goes, well, you know, there were some people who said that I was a first-round pick, and I always believed it. So I'm glad
no, you
that,
weren't.
You know.
No, you weren't.
Like, this poor kid. Right?
Maybe,
it's not his fault.
Maybe if given a full season, and that's what Chaim Bloom said last night, well, if this kid had a chance to play in the spring, he would have been taken much higher. No, but he didn't have a chance to play in the spring, and we're dealing with the reality now, which is he's not ranked in the top 100, and you took him 17th overall.
Yeah.
I mean, and if they did sign him, he would have fulfilled his commitment. He would have gone to Arizona, and the Sox wouldn't have had a chance at him. Or maybe he would have gone to junior college ball and entered the draft next year. Whatever the case may be, you wouldn't have had a chance to get him next year. But on the surface, this looks nuts. I don't get it at all.
Well, at least there is a chance you might get some baseball. And the reason that I'm saying that is because Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball himself, said it's absolutely happening.
I'll be disappointed that we're unable to reach an agreement that allows us to play more games. But you know what? The most important thing, and I'm not buying into your number of 48. The most important thing is that we play Major League Baseball in 2020. And I can tell you unequivocally, we are going to play Major League Baseball this year.
The percent of a chance we're playing Major League Baseball this year?
100%.
Okay. So he says 100% chance that they are playing, but then continued to say that, you know, the neither side seems to be moving.
I would prefer to negotiate a new agreement with the MLBPA that gets us more games and resolves the issues that have separated us amicably. But at the end of the day, we negotiated for the right in March to start the season on a number of games that we select in these particular circumstances. And if we have to, we'll exercise that right.
And then he just went, I love chances of thuggish ways.
I mean, what does that mean to you, guy with glasses? John, what does that mean when you hear this? Like, I mean, because to me, it sounds like...
It means like a lot of players are going to say, screw you, I'm not playing.
Yeah, all that did yesterday was just piss players off. Yeah,
okay, you're going to take away a year from me. I won't get credited for the year. Fine. You know, fine. I'm not playing. The season would be half over now anyway. I'm not playing. Go try and sell tickets. Try and do any kind of merchandising without me, Mike Trout, playing baseball, whatever. I mean, if I'm a player and I hear that, I'm like, all right, you know, deck stacked against us. The owners are against us. Obviously, the commissioner is on the side of the owners. The commissioner is going to force a season if we can't afford to play nice. Fine. We're not playing nice. We're not playing. You know, you want it. You want all these AAA guys who had their season canceled? Fine. Good luck.
I haven't seen anything from the owners that are inching them towards anything what the players want, right? I mean, the players keep trying to give them, like, we'll do the expanded playoffs, we'll have it so you can make more money by miking us up, and they, you know, it seems like, and once again, I don't even care for either side, and I'm not even going to pick sides. I just know that visually it looks like one side's giving a little bit, and the other one's like, no, you're going to take what we got, or we're going to just throw this... contractual thing that we agreed to in March out there with a limited number of games.
I just wonder how many major league players that are in the middle class would turn down an opportunity to play. I mean, you only have a limited amount of time, and say you're getting $1 million a year. I couldn't turn that down.
No, it's not that. I was talking more about the high-end players. Fred, you're right. I mean, there are players, and the majority of them make $1 million or less, and they need the money. So I agree. There will be players playing, but I would think some of the bigger name players will say, okay, I'm not playing. That's fine.
And I don't know if that necessarily matters right now.
Maybe not, but you know, especially if you're going to start the season in August, it probably won't matter because no one's going to be watching anyway. But, I mean, it all goes toward what is going to happen next year. If the owners force the players to play, if the commissioner forces the players to play after they negotiated what they believe was in good faith, what is that going to mean in December of next year? I mean, that what happens now directly affects the labor negotiations for next year. And if the players are forced to play a 48 or 50-game season against their will, I mean, regardless of who's making what and who's playing or who's not playing, we're back on this. It's 10 times worse next winter. And Major League Baseball, the owners and players have to understand that.
Well, speaking of that, just when you thought things were too good to be true with the NBA, you're realizing that maybe it is. We may have a little bit of a speed bump when it comes to getting the season launched back up. We will. I know that yesterday several of the players spoke out. And what their concern was is an interesting one, and it's one that we kind of predicted. So you want to do that when we get back there for tea?
We can do that. We'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. On an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Tutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. And Rich, you're saying there's a bit of a snafu going on with the NBA.
Yeah, even if your name is Dan Roach, 3.5 months trapped at Disney World is a long damn time. And that is the attitude of a growing amount of NBA players when it comes to the relaunch of the season next month in Orlando. Here's Woj.
I think there's a growing faction of players who, at the very least, are asking questions for a lot of different reasons about returning to play in Orlando in the bubble. And I think it really hit home about how restrictive and isolated this bubble environment is going to be. That for teams who aren't competing for championships, you know, they're essentially, you know, if they're going to get in the playoffs, they're buying like 7 weeks in isolation. And I think they're starting to see the rest of the world open up and move around. And that's a big part of it. And I think financially for some players, they're not going to make much more money by going in and playing and getting knocked out either before the play-in round, early in the playoffs. I think the Black Lives Matter movement is playing a role here. I think it is. There are a lot of factors with players. There are players up for big contract extensions next year who are worried about injury.
Yep, reality is setting in that being sequestered in the happiest place on earth for 2 to 3 months could actually be hell on earth. And for some of the players on fringe teams that are barely in the playoffs, it just might not be worth it.
There's going to be a lot of conversations over the next few days among different groups of players about going in. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks. You know, those teams, I think they know they've got their guys ready to go. But other teams who don't necessarily think they're competing for a title, yeah, there's a lot of conversation going on within those groups.
And John, who was the first one to speak out about it and how this is all snowballed now?
Is this what, about being sequestered in Orlando?
About saying it's not worth it to go do all of this.
Oh, it's Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard. And, you know, you take a look at his Portland team, and they're one of those teams that realistically probably won't win a title.
No, but he was on board. He said he wouldn't go, and then a few days later came the plan that gave Portland a shot to compete, you know, as the 9 seed and the 8 and get in the back door, and then they talked to him afterwards. He was fine with it. He was happy he was given a purpose.
You know, even if he's, like, kind of turned around, it was weird because all the things I was reading yesterday is that this isn't just a couple players. There are, I mean, the way that it was described was they said it was like 3 or 4 dozen players had been talking, and they've gotten a Zoom call and they all talked together about the reality of what it's going to be like. So if you are a team that is an 8 seed, John, or you're a 9 seed, you're still going to be sequestered down in Disney for a month and a half. I think even the early teams that to get knocked down in the first round, you have about a month and a half that you're going to be down there. That's a long time. So let's say that you're a team that just makes it to the second round. I mean, you're looking at, on average, probably these players to be down there like for 2 months. Like, on average, it's a 2 month time. And, you know, I was talking about this yesterday. We've been all quarantined for about 3 months now. I mean, dude, 2 months ago, we were all still going crazy. Like, when's this ever going to end? So imagine that. What we were doing a little bit easier was that everything was shut down at the time. And Wojnarowski is exactly right. Imagine being in Florida saying you can't leave or do anything, and you're looking at all these videos from around the country where everything is opening up. People are going to be, at that point, eating inside of restaurants. All around them are going to be tourists going to Disney World, and they're being told, if you leave this bubble, you're going to have to quarantine for another 10 days and not be able to play. That's going to be tough for anybody.
Well, I mean, look at it, Rich. I mean, unfortunately for these high-priced athletes, you play or work for, in a larger sense, a multi-billion dollar corporation. And this multi-billion dollar corporation has found a way to get back on its feet again. And if you really want to play, if you want to play and compete for championships and play basketball, this is the only way it's going to happen until next winter. and you have to make a choice. And it sounds to me that the NBA is giving these players a choice. I mean, part of the Woj story was that the NBA is working on a plan to say, okay, if you don't want to play, you don't have to. There'll be no repercussions. You know, you won't get your salary docked. You won't be suspended because most of the season is over anyway. But, I mean, if you're a player and you want to go play, this is the only way it's going to happen. And it sucks because you're right. Everyone else is going to be living their lives by the time this season is over, by all accounts. And you're going to be stuck in Orlando for 2 or 3 months. So you have to weigh the factors here. Do you want to play or not?
Well, it's going to be. I mean, also, it's not exactly, you know, staying in our homes. I mean, these guys are going to be treated exceptionally well. So, I mean, the idea of them being quarantined is a lot different than the average person being quarantined.
I mean, there's a limit. I mean, you think about it. So if they're going to be staying at, let's say they're staying at three different resorts. Let's say they're spreading them out, even though I've heard that more than likely it's just going to be one or two. Like, how many, like, penthouses do you have at those places? You might have,
I mean, there's a
10
collector.
Really nice ones. You know, at like one of these hotels, like super nice
Bucci
ones.
She only would drop his
So after, you know, the All-Star team gets theirs, you know, you're still a guy who's probably making $15 million a year. You know, like let's say someone like well, Jason Tatum is an All-Star, but let's say someone who's like a level of like, you know,
Jaylen Brown's around $20 million.
Yeah. Okay. So you're worth like a ton of money, and you're going to be staying in what is basically a two-bedroom hotel room for 2.5 months. I mean, I know you're saying that this is like a, you know, they're going to be treated great, but really, how great is it for somebody who's used to living a lavish lifestyle?
It's a decision that each player has to make.
I think there are going to be some who don't make it. You know,
that's fine, but yeah. I mean, look, I mean, as I said, you're right. It sucks. You're stuck in Orlando for 2.5 months if your team's any good. But I mean, if you want to play, this is your only option.
Yeah, no. Your guys' problem with Jan Lando is, I mean, I lived there for 4 years.
Yeah, but not consecutively. You got some time off, did you not? You got to leave occasionally.
I mean, I went to Rollins. I mean, I was there.
Yes, that's true. You were.
I mean, I got to cruise Winter Park. Yeah. These guys are going to be treated phenomenally, especially from Disney, who's going to want them to speak highly of them. It's going to be a lot different than your average people going there. And they'll be able to move around a little bit more than you would think. They're going to be able to move around a little bit. They're not going to be trapped in a room.
But I mean, move around. They can play golf. They can eat outdoors at certain specified restaurants. But that sounds like it. Like, they're not allowed to leave the Disney complex.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to bring in a sweet babe?
You're not until this third round, until the conference finals,
Conference finals, you can bring your family in. Because most of the other hotel rooms will be empty, so I would imagine that'd be the case.
Yeah, no visitors till the conference finals.
What if you wanted a prostitute? Could they stop you if it was just going to be a one-night thing?
If they could sneak in, like, wearing a Donald Duck costume or something like that, where they look like they belonged on the in the campus. Yeah, maybe you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have the means to get people dressed as Donald Duck. So who knows? But I'm not weeping for the players having to go to Orlando, and you'll be surprised how much they get. It's not going to just be staring at four walls.
For me, it's not weeping for the players. It's how will that affect some of these teams that aren't the top teams? Like, are you going to have any stars? I don't know, like the star of an eight seed. Like bad example, but Luka Doncic, you know, somebody like that, like a lower seed team. Are you going to have a star or two who's just not going to play in the playoffs because they don't feel it's worth it? And it's an interesting thing. It was thrown out there yesterday, and I guess it's more of a problem that we all thought. But I still think that even in the top tier teams, you're going to get videos of guys who snuck off the Disney campus, and there's going to be videos of them in like some sort of club, and they're going to get in trouble after quarantine, which would be so amazing a storyline if a superstar did that. If Giannis Antetokounmpo, even though I don't think that he would do that, but if he did, oh, how great would that be if he had to miss out an entire series and that's what torpedoed their season because he couldn't stay at Disney. He couldn't take it.
I'm hoping that's right. That'd be great.
It'd be great for you. Yeah. Sure, it'd be great for the Celtics. Absolutely.
All right. No commercials here, just the headlines, and then we'll talk to the Bankroll Boys.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.